Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, where we begin in verse 7. Who warned you to flee? And I have begun to wonder if there is maybe a little bit of the rhetorical in that question. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, says the one who was going all through the region warning people to flee from the coming wrath. You know, so the answer is, well, John, but we'll set that aside for a moment. And John comes preaching. Out in the wilderness, talking about the Son of God who is coming. And out in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance. And out in the wilderness, actually naming the sins of the people. And this is one of those very strange times in the history of the world where somebody comes along with truth, and instead of everybody turning away, they're drawn to it. So most of the time, people in the world, well, we clutter up our lives and we crowd it with things that cover over the truth about our souls and don't want to look inside, and so we clutter more and more of our lives so we don't have to look at the truth of what is down deep inside. And along comes a John the Baptist and says, how do you address the people? You brood of vipers. Hardly a way to start a sermon, isn't it? Hardly a way to start the church year leading up to Christmas, but there it is, you brood of vipers. And that language calls us back to the Old Testament and how to say it in modern language. Who's your daddy? You know who your daddy is? Who's your daddy? Call him Snake Face. With the snake voice and snake words, promising things and telling you that God doesn't really have your best interests in mind, but you better eat this fruit because it'll make you wise like God. Then you can raise yourselves up. And when he says, you brood of vipers, that's what he's saying. You know who your daddy is? Your daddy's that one. What are we going to do? Later on, Paul brings it together. Here's how Paul says it. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Right? No. Surely not us. Say it's not so, Paul. Say it's not so, John. Say it's not so. And then Paul goes along and says, that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Oh, that stings. Or there's John the Baptist and he's yelling out, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee? And the thing is, he's not just talking to the religious professionals with all of the hypocrisy and the airs that they put on, but inside, there's something very different. So right in the gospel lesson, he addressed the crowds. That's tough medicine. Do you want to stand like that in front of God to join the whole rest of this brood of vipers called the human race to say, I am a sinner and I stand before God as a sinner with no excuse and nowhere to turn and nothing in myself that can improve or better anything? And that part of Christianity, it's not delicate. That part of Christianity is rough. And it is a tough and difficult message. And the crowd responds, what do we do? What do we do? Notice how it goes on after that? As John's telling them, this is what you do. Whoever has two tunics and his neighbor has none, share it. Food, the same. The tax collectors, the IRS agents, the soldiers, the occupying army soldiers. What do we do? What do we do? And John goes along like that, and frankly, he doesn't give a solution there. Frankly, the text kind of ran out, and it didn't get there. And we've got to add a couple of verses. Want to hear the next verses? Because that's the good part. You want to hear them? Yeah. Okay. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now let me unpack that for you. You know what John is saying? John is saying, all of my preaching, that gets you nowhere. I told you, share food, share tunic, and the tax collectors don't do that, and the soldiers don't do that. That will not get you into heaven. That will not forgive your sins. That will not make you right with God. I've got nothing. I have absolutely nothing I can give you that's a solution. But someone's coming. There's the someone who is coming. And he's mightier than me. And I am not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. That's how worthy he is. That's how great he is. And this one that is coming, what he is going to do is he is going to come into this world. About that time, I'm going to pull in a little military lingo here. He is the Holy One of God, but you cannot do the job if you try and do it from a distance. You cannot do it sitting up in heaven. He cannot do the work of salvation way up there and way off there. He's got to come into this world because, here's the military lingo, you got to have boots on the ground. Somebody has to step into this world and bring holiness. Because John knows, and John is the climactic prophet of all of the Old Testament looking forward, he knows he's got nothing. All these good works, they just fall short, and we've got to have somebody to come and do a holiness. And it's not us. Because if we look inside, we see this deep down inside, there is this old sinful nature. And as many times as we try and set our feet on the path of righteousness, as many times as we try and reform and straighten stuff out, that old nature takes it off, odd directions, and we find ourselves falling into sin all over again. What to do? Despair and turn away from religion. Because religion won't get you anywhere. And actually, that's true. Religion won't get you anywhere because there's got to be somebody that comes along that doesn't do the religion bit, which is human beings hearing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, and living righteous lives to earn salvation. That doesn't work. There's got to be somebody else who does something else, and his name, of course, you know his name, it's Jesus, who comes into this human nature to carry the sin that we've all done, sharing all of that with us. And John goes even further. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You know what he's going to do? He's going to do his work not just out there in the world, not just there on Calvary, not just there atoning for the sins. He's going to do his work within the soul. And this work of holiness that he does, what is holiness? Ask Martin Luther. The holiness of God is what God does to make us holy. The glory of God, what God does to make us glorious. The wisdom of God, what God does to make us wise. He comes as that to give the holiness and to begin to change us and to put his word of salvation in the soul and in the heart. And in that word of salvation, he brings the holiness of God. He brings the eternity of God, and he brings it into my human nature. That's why we're looking forward to Christmas. One of the Christmas hymns goes, "Welcome to earth, O noble guest." He's here. Comes into this world, boots on the ground, to fight a battle, to win a war, to suffer, to die, to rise, to defeat death itself, and to carry his work into the soul. And then there's actually hope. Because it isn't the kingdom of God coming with holiness and I hope I measure up. It's the kingdom of God coming with holiness that doesn't just come into this world, it comes into you. And this word of God that calls you to Jesus Christ and connects you with the eternal Son of God changes, transforms, makes new. And we end up 2,000 years later still singing about it. And what do we sing? Silent Night, Joy to the World, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Because what Jesus did coming into this human nature changes everything. And now there's eternity. Eternity is given back to the human race, and eternity in our souls is given back to us. And that's all the Son of God and his doing. This is an amazing time of year. In Jesus' name, amen.